संतो ओम शांति शांति शांति। वी आर सीइंग द भाष्यम ऑफ द सेकंड वर्स, वी हैव नॉट कंप्लीटेड दैट एंड वी हैव बीन सीइंग शंकरस कमेंट्री ऑन एवरी वर्ड एंड वी हैव कम टू द discussion of the meaning of the word pranasya pranaha. We have seen that. And the Purvapakshi's question on why can't we take the pranasya pranaha, why can't take it as pranam instead of pranaha. And Shankara gave the answer why we can't take the pranam, why the then the second prana should not be the second case, why should be in the nominative case? That discussion we have seen earlier. And thereafter, the other question came. Pranaha, there are two pranas are there. There is gauna pranaha, then is mukhya pranaha. Mukhya pranaha means the physiological function of inhalation and exhalation. And gauna pranaha means smelling, the power of organ of smelling. The power, the sense, the organ of smelling, the sense power of smell is also called a gauna pranaha. Gauna pranaha. Why the organ of smelling is called gauna pranaha? Why it is also known by the term prana? See, generally pranaha means physiological function. But here why This granam means nose, and indriyam, the sense, the power, the organ of grana indriyam means the organ of smelling, subtle power of organ of smelling, indriyam, the sense power, is also known by the term pranaha. But that indriyam, the power, organ of smelling, the subtle sense power, is what is called gauna pranaha. And then its physiological function is called mukhya pranaha. So the student asked, here the word pranaha is used. So why can't we take the meaning of the word pranaha as a gauna pranaha? We should take the meaning of the word pranaha as a gauna pranaha. That means what? You take it as the organ of smelling. Why you take it as organ of smelling? Because it comes in the context, it is used along with the other names of other sense organs. Like chakshushaha, chakshuhu, shrotrasya, shrotram, they all mean sense organs only. Therefore, why can't we take this prana as a gauna pranaha, not as a mukhya pranaha? Then the answer was given, no, we cannot take it as a gauna pranaha. The reason he gave was because when you inhale, why this organ of smelling is called gauna pranaha? Because when you, in order to smell something, always we take the object of smelling near the nose and we smell. Sometimes and always. Most of the times the nose need not be taken near the object. I have to be brought to the nose. Just walking around, you get this. The smell of this inhale, isn't it? Smell is. You just know the smell. But sometimes mild smells are there. You take it near the nose and you smell it also. It means whenever you smell, the smelling, there is some inhalation. Okay, some inhalation. This function of smelling involves also some inhalation. Therefore, he says, therefore, that is why the power of organ of smelling is called what now? Gauna pranaha. That is why student is asking, why should we take the meaning of the word pranaha as a gauna pranaha, organ of smelling, instead of taking it as physiological function, mukhya pranaha. The teacher said, No, we can, the Shankara gives answer to the Purvapakshi, we can't take it as the Gauna Pranaha, we should take it as only as the Mukhya Pranaha. The reason is, the when you inhalation itself, when you talk about the inhalation, it involves the prana, it involves all the physiological functions, and the inhalation itself includes what now? Includes this organ of smelling also. It doesn't need to be mentioned separately. If you take it as organ of smelling, then prana will get omitted. Prana will not be included. Okay, only organ of smelling alone will be taken. We don't need. Whereas if you take it as the prana physiological function, the organ of smelling also is included. Second thing, without even talking about the organ of smelling, the very question, even though the student doesn't enumerate all the organs, but he just, if the mention, the very question is enough, it includes all the sense powers, all the powers of organs of actions, the, you know, all the pranas and the entire antahkaranam. The entire sukshmaram is implied by his very question. So it includes everything. So we do not take it, we do not worry whether we should take it as the mukhya prana or gavana pranaha. Anyway, even if you ask this question, still I can tell you, you taken here as mukhya prana only, not as the gavana pranaha, because mukhya prana includes gavana prana, but gavana prana will not include mukhya prana. And one more thing, Swamiji said, even if Shankara doesn't talk about it, even if we see this question of the student, the very word used there, prathamaha, pranaha prathamaha, the adjective used to adjective used to describe prana is what the word prathamaha. Prathamaha means first and the foremost. So prana is always glorified as the foremost, the prathamaha, the important of all the sukshma aspects, because function of all the sukshma aspects, subtle aspects, you know, are dependent on, very much dependent on the prana, because they cannot survive, they won't be energetic, they won't function as prana, they said, they won't be able to do their functions if the prana is not there. Therefore, prana is always known as prathamaha. That very word prathamaha is enough. Adjective itself implies it's only mukhya pranaha, not the gavana pranaha. Is it clear?
Yes.
That we saw last class. So, chakshushas chakshuhu, rupaprakashakasya chakshushaha yad grahana samarthyam tad atma chaitanya adishtitasya eva. So Shankara says in this context, rupa prakashas prakashakasya chakshushaha, the eye which is capable of revealing the object in the form, object, no, with the form, any form, any form or object, that is grahana samarthyam yad, the capability of the eye, no, eye in illumining, the capability of illumining the given object is because of, the capability is because of what? Because of the Atma Chaitanyam only, because of the consciousness alone. It is the consciousness, okay, it is the capability, it is because of the consciousness alone, eye has the capacity to illumine a given form or reveal, you know, bring an object to light. So similarly, Atma Chaitanya Adishtitasya Eva, only when the sense organ is backed by, supported by, you know, lent existence by the consciousness. Okay, illumined by, lent existence by, supported by, backed by consciousness alone, the sense organ has the capacity to illumine its own relevant given object. Therefore, what should we say now? Therefore, Atma, what now? It is the consciousness, the Atma, which is implied by the second word of every second word in every sentence. Chakshushaha, Chakshuhu means the Chakshuhu, eye of the eye is Atma, the consciousness. Why eye of consciousness to be eye of the eye? That because of which the eye is capable of functioning as eyes, functioning as eye. That means eye, the capacity to illumine its given object is possible because it is backed by lent existence, by supported by the sense power itself is illumined by consciousness. Okay, the see the self non-revealing. Okay, a power, an object which is incapable of revealing its presence by itself, will not be able to reveal or bring to light another object. An object which is incapable of revealing its, which is not self-revealing. And anything which is not self-revealing, which is incapable of revealing its existence by itself, cannot bring to light another object. Therefore, the sense power by itself is dependent on the Atma Chaitanyam in order to come to light. And that sense power definitely will be incapable of bringing another object to light. That is called Adhishtitam. Okay? Here, Anadhishtitam, that is why the sense power, which itself is backed, lent existence, illumined, supported by the consciousness alone, this sense power is capable of illumining its given respective sense object. Therefore, he says, therefore it is Chakshushaha Chakshuhu. When you say the next word, the I, Chakshuhu, is what now? None other than Atma, the consciousness. That is what is said here. Okay. Therefore, here we have to understand, if you see the whole mantra, see the whole mantra now, you have two lines. So, first part and the second part. First line forms the first part of the mantra. Second line forms the second part of the mantra. What does the first line say? Look at this. Shrotrasya, shrotram. First line means, the first part and the second part. You see, take the whole mantra as two part, mantra of two parts. Shrotrasya shrotram, manasaha manaha, vachaha vacham, pranasya pranaha. Therefore, the first sentence reveals the surupam of the Atma. First sentence, the first part of the mantra reveals the surupam of the Atma. Surupam of the self. Or you can say unfolds. It unfolds the surupam of the, reveals the surupam of the self. How do we say that? Because Atma is, Atma surupam is revealed by the first part of the mantra. But how it is, Atma surupam is revealed by the first part of the mantra, how is it revealed? No, as that, because Atma Swarupam is revealed, the first part of the mantra, as that, because of which, because of whose presence, because of which, everything is capable of functioning, like every sense power is capable of functioning, that is revealed. So, Atma Swarupam is revealed in the first sentence. Nature of the Atma. Why nature of the Atma is revealed in the first sentence? Because the student wanted to know what the Atma was, what the Self was. Therefore, the teacher's answer is what? He gives the answer, Atma Swarupam is presented there. But here, the student want to know what the Swarupam of the Atma, therefore the teacher gave the answer, Swarupam of the Atma. Then, having said that, the answer was given. What is it? What is the Swarupam? What is that Atma? So here the teacher explained the Swarupam of the Atma. Why he gave the Swarupam of the Atma? Why he gave the Swarupam of the Atma? Why he revealed the Swarupam of the Atma as an answer to his question? Because Atma has to be understood only in terms of its Swarupam. The student wanted to know what Atma was. And the teacher gave the answer to give the answer to say what Atma was. What did he say? He revealed the Swarupam of the Atma. Why? Because Atma has to be understood in terms of its Swarupam only. Understanding the Swarupam of the Atma, the nature of the Atma, is understanding the Atma. Understanding the nature of the Atma is understanding Atma. I'm going to give you a very important lesson. Understanding the Swarupam, nature of the Atma, is understanding the Atma. That is why Atma has to be understood in terms of its Swarupam. Therefore, when the student asked, what is that Atma, what is that conscious principle, what is that Atma, self-effulgent principle, self-revealing principle, because of which all these inert, dependent objects shine, dependent fact. The different dependent aspect of sukshma shine. So the student teacher gave an answer, revealed the answer wherein Atma Swarupam is revealed. What does it mean by saying Atma Swarupam is revealed? Understanding Swarupam of the Atma is the understanding the Atma means. What does it mean? If we ask the question, what is light? Can you show, this is what light, this is what the light, this is what the light. Can you show like that? Can you understand? This means what? 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 What is light? This is what is light. This is what is light. You can't understand. How light should be understood? Only in terms of its Swarupam. Subtlest thing. What is mic? I can show this is mic. Or if it is far, I can show that is mic. That is a flower. This is a mic. What is a flower? That is a flower. I can use that or this. You know, then I can use this. But what is light? Then you cannot directly teach, only in terms of its Swarupam. Even to light is an object of knowledge, even though it's an object of knowledge, even to explain light, you need to use what now? Talk about the Swarupam, because subtle. It is not, why is subtle? We say it is not a tangible object. Light is not something tangible, isn't it? Gross. Even though it is available for sense perception, light is available for sense perception, but still it is not tangible. So what do you do now? What is light means? A light is that which, which does not depend upon another light to reveal its presence. And light is that because of the presence of which, in the presence of which, in whose presence alone, any opaque object shines. What is my answer? Is what now? My answer is answer for what the light is. And how the answer is given? It is not directly indicated, but it is answer is given in terms of what now? Light is revealed. The object called light is shown to you, is revealed to you. How? In terms of its swarupam. The object called light is brought to light. How? In terms of its swarupam. Then when you talk about the swarupam of the light, you understand what now? The light. Understanding the swarupam of the light is understanding the light. When even though I use word swarupam, the light, are these two different things? Understanding the swarupam, swarupam means the nature. In nature means what now? In what form the object is. The form in which the object is called what? The object originally is the swarupam, isn't it? Understanding the swarupam is understanding the light. Similarly, understanding the atma swarupam is understanding the atma. Therefore, the teacher what now? Unfolds, the teacher reveals, brings to light the atma swarupam in the first sentence. Is it clear? And how does he bring the atma swarupam to the light? By saying chakshushaha chakshuhu, manasaha manaha. So that answer, how does he convey there? Saying the atma chaitanyam, the atma swarupam, atma is that because of whose presence all these subtle aspects function. Therefore he gives it atma swarupam is revealed in his first part of this mantra. Okay, finished. Now what is present in the second part? Look at this. Atimuchya dhiraha. See, till chakshushaha chakshuhu. Put a full stop. The second part begins. The first part is what now? O student, you ask me, kaha devaha. Kaha devaha. Who? What is that effulgent principle? No, because of which everything functions. Now here's what now. Saha devaha, that effulgent principle, the atma, the self, which you wanted to know is what? Shrotrasya shrotram. Saha devaha, no, saha devaha tvaya prushtaha. Saha devaha tvaya prushtaha. That effulgent being asked by you, inquired by you, okay, is what? Is shrotrasya shrotram, manasaha manaha, vachaha vak, pranasya prana, chakshushaha chakshuhu. Okay, yaha tvaya prushtaha, yaha devaha tvaya prushtaha, saha. We have to add that sentence to make it full stop. Put full stop. Finish. First part is over. And where does the second part begin? Atimuchya dhiraha, pretya asmat lokat amrutaha bhavanti. What now? Dhiraha, you have to put the proper order. Dhiraha, amrutaha bhavanti. It is the second part. Dhiraha amrutaha bhavanti. Wise people become immortal. They attain immortality. Amrutaha bhavanti. When atimuchya. Again, asmat lokat pretya. The two words. Atimuchya, asmat lokat pretya. Atimuchya, asmat lokat pretya. Dhiraha amrutaha bhavanti. The second part. What does the second part reveal? The second part of the mantra gives you the phalam. Reveals the benefit of knowledge. Benefit of knowledge. But this mantra does not talk about the knowledge. Notice that. Mantra first part presents the Swarupa of the Atma. Second part talks about the benefit of knowledge. But does the mantra talk about the knowledge at all? No. Therefore, Shankara says, we have to incorporate the word jnatva. Jnatva. This is the Bhashman, bring in the Bhashman. Okay, incorporate jnatva. Jnatva means what? Having known. We have to incorporate the word having known or knowing. Knowing should be incorporated where? O student, that intelligent principle, the conscious principle, which you wanted to know is this, the consciousness, the Atma. Which is indicated by the word chakshusha, chakshuhu, panasya pranaha, etc. And you want to know. That's what she says. But after having known that Atma, knowing that Atma which you asked for, I had to add, no? The mantra doesn't say that. The knowing that Atma, it's not mentioned. Therefore, Shankara says, we have to add the word jnatva, indeclinable participle, which means what? Having known or knowing. Knowing that Atma is a palam. If we do not add the word jnatva, then we will not connect the first part and the second part. Because amrutaha bhavanti, they attain immortal. Who? Dhiraha. Dhiraha literally means brave, courageous people. But here you should take it as wise people attain immortality. It also says when, how. Atimuchya pretya. Asmat lokat pretya. Atimuchya. They attain immortality. Therefore, we have to definitely add the word jnatva to make connect the two sentences, two parts of the mantra. Knowing that this is the Swarupma of the Atma, this is what the Atma is, this is the Swarupma of the Atma, and having known that Swarupma of the Atma, you know, people become wise. People are wise. People, those who know that Atma are wise, and those wise people alone, what now? Attain immortality. What is it which makes one dhiraha, wise? Knowledge of the Atma. What is it which makes one a dhiraha, wise person? Knowledge of the Atma. Therefore, jnatva. Jnatva, after having known that Atma alone, one becomes dhiraha. Until one knows the Atma, one is not dhiraha. அவனு தீராக வைஸ் பீப்புள் வாட் நோ திஸ் கிராஸ் தி ஓஷன் ஆஃப் சம்சார அட்டைன் இம்மார்டாலிட்டி. Then we might have a doubt, why should we use Jnatva? Why should we use Jnatva? And what is the answer here? Because the Upanishad talks about the, because Upanishad's sixth part talks about the Jnanapalam. Therefore, you have to add Jnatva, one meaning, one explanation, why we have to add Jnatva. Why should we, then again the question comes, why should we talk about the Jnanapalam at all? Why should Upanishad talk about the Jnanapalam, benefit of knowledge? Because we know the very student has what now? Desire for knowledge. The student has desire for knowledge. Therefore, Upanishad also talks about the benefit of knowledge, the fruit of knowledge. And how do you know the student has desire for knowledge? How do you know the student has desire for knowledge? Come on, what does the student ask here? If the student did not have desire, why should he ask this question? The very question from the student is, very question is possible only if there is inquisitiveness, curiosity or desire for knowledge. Therefore, the question itself is the proof that the student is desirous of knowing. When he is desirous of knowing, he will not be simply interested in knowing without expecting a result. Okay, the benefit also he is understood. When a question comes, any question implies the desire for knowledge of something. Where are you going? Even if you ask that question also, what now? Implies my desire for knowing. Of course, what the benefit is a different thing. And in knowing something also, the act of knowing also is what now? Again, act of knowing also, again, this involves some benefit also. What am I going to gain out of knowing? Therefore, the very question implies what now? His desire. And desire for knowledge is for some benefit. Therefore, we have to add the word jnatva to connect the two parts. This is the answer given Shankara. Okay, we have seen that, but I want to make it very clear. Hope it's clear now. And second thing, and for attainment of immortality, jnanam is the only means, ekam sadhanam. Because the benefit of knowledge is revealed there, for the attainment of knowledge, there are not many means. Knowledge is the only means. Therefore also, I have to use the word jnatva. I have to add the word jnatva. Shankara says, why he has to add jnatva there? Even for the attainment of first, I get two reasons. Is it clear? Third reason he gives, why he uses, we have to add the word jnatva. Because the sentence which follows, the next part, second part of the mantra, which talks about the benefit of knowledge, that's what amurtaha bhavanti, when it says, you can simply ask other question, why should be jnatva? For attainment of moksha, why do you connect jnanam and moksha? Jnanam as the means and moksha as the end. Why do you say that? Maybe there's a different sentence, this is a different sentence. Can something else, instead of jnanam, something else can be the means of moksha. he says, no, no, jnanam is what now? Jnanam is the only means for attainment of immortality. Therefore also, adding jnatva in the context is appropriate. If it is something else, like suppose if it is antakarna shuddhi is the end, then there can be many means. Bahu sadhanam. Karma yoga has bahu sadhanatvam. It has, there are many ways of taking care of one's emotional maturity, mental purity. You can do so many things We can do any one of the things, any of the many things for your mental purity. You can practice pranayama, you can practice meditation, you can do lot of charity work, you can do lots of things, but with proper attitude to become mentally pure and steady. Pure. That's called antakarna shuddhi. Isn't it? But for moksha, how many things are there? In fact, if something is to be done for moksha, then there's many ways of doing. Nothing needs to be done for moksha. All that one needs to do is only know. Therefore, knowledge is the only means for moksha. It is not that karma action is not required for moksha. It is the knowledge alone is required for moksha. Therefore, for jnanam, what is the end? Very clear. Is moksha the end or mental purity is the end? Purification of the mind is the end or moksha is the end? Isn't it? If moksha is the end means, is karma the means or jnanam the means? Jnanam is the means. If jnanam is the means, there is not many sadhanam. Okay? Moksha is eka sadhanam. Eka sadhanatvam hai. Moksha has eka sadhanatvam. It has only one means. Whereas antakarna shuddhi is the end, karma or jnanam. It is karma is the means. If karma is the becomes the means what now? In so many things you can do. Is it clear? It's very beautifully he presents. Therefore, then this is Shankara supposes we have to add jnatva to connect two different parts of the mantra to have the complete meaning of the word, complete meaning of the both the parts of the mantra, the entire mantra. Then the question might come, why should we add the word jnatva at all? That's what he uses. Three explanations for adding the word jnatva. Is Bhashya. When does he add the word jnatva? When he starts, he begins to comment upon the second part of the mantra and he says in this context, come on, I have to add jnatva here. So, the question, before even going to other second part of the commentary upon the second part of the mantra, when he adds jnatva and there, and this one might ask, why do you want to add jnatva here? And for he, which he gives his three reasons. Have you got it very clear? Mm-hmm. It's very beautiful. It makes you think a lot. So what Shankara says here, look at this last one. Jnanad hi amrutattvam prapyate. Jnanat hi amrutattvam prapyate. Attainment of immortality means what? Moksha. Attainment of moksha. Is it? Attainment of moksha means what now? For how many means are there for moksha? Jnanam is the only means, not the karma. Therefore, what now? Moksha is for moksha only means is jnanam. Therefore, in the context to get the complete meaning of the entire mantra, we have to add jnatva, the indeclinable participle having known, in order to get the complete meaning. Okay, this is commentary. thereafter. Gyatva. It's okay. Therefore, what now? O student, gyatva, I'm explaining the meaning of the word gyatva now again. Okay. Now, the Atma Swarupam is revealed in the first sentence. Therefore, this is what is the Swarupam of the Atma which you wanted to know. The Swarupam of the Atma is this. Which Atma? The Atma which you wanted to know is of this nature. The Atma, okay, the effulgent being, the Self, which you wanted to know is of this nature. That is, answer is given in the first sentence. And Shankara said we have to add the word jnatva to get this, to get the complete meaning of the first part, second part of the mantra. Which the second part of the mantra discusses the benefit of knowledge. Now, he goes next word now. Ati muchya.
Ati muchya.
Iti samarthyat shrotradi karana kalapam ujjitva ujjitva. Okay. Shrotrado hi atma bhavam kritva. See, jnatva, after that, having known, what now? Atimuchya iti. Atimuchya means what now? Iti samarthyat. Samarthyat means jnana samarthyat. Okay? Because of knowledge. Knowledge alone. What happens now? Samarthyam. The jnanam blesses one with the capacity. Knowledge blesses one with a capacity. It is the knowledge which itself is the capacity. Capacity to what now? Shrotradi karana kalapam ujjitva. Shrotradi means eye, ear, etc. Okay, the sense power. Ear means, you have to remember here, only sense, subtle body is discussed here. We are not talking about the, we are not discussing in this mantra. Giving up the identity with the physical body is not discussed. Only subtle body here. Okay? Shrotradi, ear, etc. Karana kalapam ujjitva. Karana kalapaha, as I told you, the samuhaha, karana samuhaha. Karana samuhaha means what now? This whole, you know, the assemblage of, kalapa is assemblage. Assemblage of this entire subtle aspects, entire instruments of knowledge, all the instruments of knowledge, instruments of actions and the physiological functions, no, we can say all of them, the entire sukshma, all the 16 aspects of sukshma, we can say what now? Karana kalapaha. Karana means organs, an organ of knowledge, an organ of actions, not karanani. And supportive is what now? Mind, 5 senses and powers of organs of actions, 11 of them, karanani. What support is what now? The prana. So totally all the 16 of them are impelled by the word karana kalapaha. Okay. So he says, karana kalapam ujjitva. Karana kalapam ujjitva means after having known the Atma Swarupam. Listen to me carefully. After having known the Self, after having known the Self, after having understood the Swarupam of the Atma, after having understood the Atma, what are known? Karana kalapam ujjitva. Giving up the identity with this karana kalapaha, karana samuhaha. Giving up the identity with this entire sukshma aspects. All the aspects of sukshma shariram. So Shankara says what now? Again, he him explains. Shrotradau hi atma bhav. Okay. He explains now. So giving up the identity with the organs such as ear, etc. Giving up the identity with sense organs such as ears, etc. means what? Giving up the identity means what? How can you give up the identity? It is not that you are giving up the identity. Okay? The I sense, please listen to me carefully. Giving up the identity with this sense, with these aspects, the entire karna samuha means what? Shifting the I sense from all the aspects. Because giving up, if I say literally giving up means you had to give up. It becomes an action, isn't it? Therefore, giving up the identity with this sukshma shariram means shifting the I sense from this sukshma shariram. Shifting the I sense from what now? I sense from the sense, all these organs, collection of organs, subtle aspects. Okay, if you do not shift, so shifting is possible, shifting the I sense from these subtle aspects is possible only if there is knowledge. It is not that easy. Okay, because it is such a very, very difficult thing. The most difficult thing is to shift the I sense from the subtle body, to shift the I sense from all these karana samoham. Not that easy. To be able to shift the I sense from the karana samoham, one needs what now? Extraordinary strength, and that strength is knowledge. The shifting this from here doesn't need much strength, okay? Without eating, starving also I can shift this. But to shift something heavy, I need what now? Something heavy, I need much big, greater strength. If something to be shifted, physically I have to shift something even for which I need physical strength. Similarly, to shift something subtly stronger. Okay? The physically strong object can be shifted with physical strength. But subtly stronger, the strongest thing to shift that, you need what now? Subtle strength. Understand now? And here, the having I sense in the anatma, in the form of sense, these subtle aspects, karna samuha, the sense powers and powers of organs of actions, pranas, etc. Shifting I sense from that subtle aspects is what now? Subtle problem, isn't it? Subtle, to shift that I sense, one is what now? Subtlest strength. Greatest strength. And the strength is knowledge. Only if the jnanam is there, it is possible. Knowledge of what? If the what atma is, what is the content of I is very clear, then atma, I sense can be resolved in the surupam. What is the content of I is very clear, then you can resolve the I sense in that surupam. Content. It's like what? It's like when you say you can resolve the wave in the water, you should know the content of the wave is, you can say wave is water. That sentence simply what now? Resolving the wave namarupa in the water. Not physical, it is cognitive. And how can you resolve wave is water? That sentence makes it very clear for you. Sentence is very clear for you. When understanding the meaning of the sentence, you resolve cognitively the name and form wave in its content. How is it popular resolve? You know the content of the name and form. Wave is water. Only then you can resolve cognitively. The sentence becomes meaningful. Similarly, here also, the content of the I must be very clear for you. What is the content of the I must be very clear, then you can say, what now? You can resolve the I sense. Okay, I am is I sense. I sense, you can resolve what now? In the content. Like how wave is water, you can resolve the wave, which is a namarupa, in its content water, when you know the water being the, water is the content of the namarupa. Similarly, I is a nama, name. And what is the form? Not a gross form, subtle form, a vritti form, thought form. And what is the content of the I thought? What is the content of the I? If you know, only then you can say I am, okay, or I is, or I am this. I am Brahma. Aham Brahma. Aham Atma. I itself am consciousness. When can you say that? When you know the content of the I being Atma. Once you can know the content of the I being Atma, then you can resolve the I in Atma. When you resolve the I in Atma, how do you resolve it? Not physically, cognitively resolve the I in Atma. When you resolve the cognitively I in Atma, then naturally, effortlessly, I sense become shifted from the anatma, sukshma, shariram. Is it clear? It's very beautiful. Eyes become shifted. How? With the effort. This is effort. Like a physical lift shifting needs what now? Effort. But here, shifting of eye sense is not gross, it is subtle shifting. That need what now? Effortless shifting. Why? So the shifting of I sense from sukshma shariram means what now? Having the I sense resolved in consciousness, the Atma. So having the I sense resolved in the Atma means knowing that sorupam of the content of the I sense being Atma, the consciousness. I got the steps. Therefore, jnatva. Therefore, what? No. Therefore, Bhagavad says, no. Samarthyat. Satimuchya Samarthyat. Shrotradi Karana Kalapam Ujjitva. Okay, Ujjitva. Only he goes to the next one now. Atimuchya. Atimuchya means what? What is the meaning of Atimuchya now? Atimuchya means giving up the identity in the subtle body. Giving up the identity subtle body. I'm giving the meaning of explain. Shankara comments upon the word Atimuchya. Atimuchya is equal to what is the meaning? Giving up the identity with the subtle body. Giving up the identity with subtle body means what? Shifting the I sense from the subtle body. Shifting the I sense from subtle body means what? Resolving the I sense in Atma. Resolving the I sense in the Atma means what? Knowing the content of the Atma. I sense. Sorry. Surup of the I sense. Therefore, what? Atimochanam Okay, that resolution is possible only if there is knowledge. Okay, resolution, see, a shifting of eye sense from the body, mind sense, sorry, from the sukshma shariram implies what now? Having placed the eye sense in its content. Having placed the eye sense in its content implies what? Knowing the content of the eye sense. Therefore, jnatva. Okay, he says, suppose if the eye sense is not shifted from the sukshma, it's not shifted. If not shifting the eye sense from the sukshma means what? If the eyes, if the self is identified with, if the eye sense is identified with, if eye sense is still had, now with the anatma subtle form, subtle body, what will happen? He says, Shrotradau, he Atma Bhavam Kritva. Atma Bhavam Kritva. Atma Bhava Karana means having the eye sense in the subtle body. Atma Bhava, subtle body, having the eye sense is called what? Atma Bhava Karanam. Atma Bhavam Kritva means what now? Having the eye sense. Having the eye sense means what now? Identifying one's self with the subtle body. Atma Bhavam Kritva means having identified one's self. Atma Bhavam Kritva is equal to having identified one's self with what? I'm not saying. Having identified oneself with is what Atma Bhavam Kritva. Or having eye sense in Atma Bhavam Kritva. With what? You know? Either is it here? Shrotradau. Shrotradau means what now? In the entire Karana Kalape. In all, in the Sukshma Shairam. I can take it very simple. Shrotra is equal to in Sukshma Shariram. So having eye sense or in or having identity with Sukshma Shariram will do what now? Kritva. Tadu Upadihi. Tadu Upadihi means what now? Once you have the eye sense in the subtle body, once you have the identity with the subtle body, then what happens? Tad upadihi. Then the subtle body becomes upadihi. Okay, upadihi means what now? That subtle body becomes upadihi means, you know, one becomes limited by what now? Becomes limited by the sukshma. See, being, becoming limited by the sukshma is equal to having the sukshma as the upadhi. Being limited by the subtle body is equal to what now? Being limited by the upadhi. Being limited by subtle body is equal to having upadhi, subtle body as a supadhi. Tad upadhihi bhavati. Tad upadhihi means what now? Once you become, see, having eye sense in the subtle body makes one limited by the subtle body, which means then having subtle body as the one's upadhi. What happens now? Thereafter, the attributes of the subtle body become superimposed upon the subtle, the self. And once you have the attributes superimposed upon the self, what now he says, upadihisana tad atmana. Tad atmana means what now? Is called tadatmya adhyasaha. Tadatmya adhyasaha means becoming that. Tadatmyam. When you take the self, when you take the self for the sukshma shariram, then sukshma shariram becomes the self. What sukshma shariram becomes the self? See, first you, what you do? You take the subtle body for the self. Why do you take the subtle body for the self? Because you have eye sense in the self, so subtle body. So first, having eye sense in the, you have eye sense in the subtle body, then take subtle body for the self. What is subtle body for the self? The attributes of the subtle body become superimposed upon the self. Thereby you become what now? You become subtle body itself. You become that. How? Notionally. You are not really, but notionally you become subtle body. Not really, notionally become a subtle body. Okay. That be what happens, you become notionally subtle body. And what happens, subtle body? Subtle body travels. Subtle body assumes a new physical body. Subtle body is born. How? Assuming a new body. And the subtle body lives in the physical body. Again, subtle body departs, what now? Again, there's a death. So all these things, therefore, what now? This is samsara. This notion comes, what now? There is, I am born. Look at this. These notions come now. I am born. I am going to die. I travel after death. I leave this physical body, I attain moksha, I attain videha mukti, I need to attain videha mukti, I need to attain liberation after I leave this physical body. Why? There is a very strong notion, I am a subtle body, I am a sukshma, therefore what? I am going to assume another sthula shariram, which is called what now? Bondage. So I had attained what now? I had attained videha mukti. What is videha mukti? Not being born again, not having a physical form again, is what now? Videha mukti. Not being born again is videha mukti. Not being born again, videha mukti means what now? I am born. No, the notion. Why I am born? Yes, I assume a physical body. I am born again. Therefore, what now? I don't want to be born again. You must not assume a physical form. That means what? It means what? Implies what? I am sukshma. If I am consciousness is very clear, consciousness is never born, doesn't travel, doesn't assume any body. Consciousness does not assume the body. Consciousness is not born. Therefore, consciousness does not die. Therefore, consciousness is not limited. Consciousness has no upadhi. Consciousness does not think, I am limited. Therefore, what now? Is it clear now? Therefore, the notion of attainment of videha mukti itself is what now? Is due to ajnanam only. Due to ajnanam means what now? Ignorance of the self. Due to the association or identity with the sukshma. Which is also what now? Ajnanam. Amazing, huh? How much it makes you think. You see the beauty of it. I just see. Therefore, what he says now? Jnatva. Let us remember this. Okay, now Atimochaha. Okay. And he says, if there is Tadatmya, Tadatmya Adhyasaha means what now? Tadatmya Adhyasaha means taking, okay, something else. See, taking anything other than the self for the self, and thereby superimposing attributes of the non-self upon the self, and becoming notionally the non-self. Becoming notionally the non-self is called what? Tadatmya Adhyasaha. Is it clear now? Tadatmya Adhyasaha means tad. Tad means what now? Anything other than a self is indicated by the pronoun tad. The self is indicated by the term what? Aham. Taking anything other than the self for the self is what now? Taking something else non-self for the self. That is called tadatmyam. Taking the non-self for the self means what now? Superimposing the attributes of the non-self upon this self. And thereby notionally becoming the non-self. Notionally, okay, becoming the non-self is called tadatmya adhyasaha. When does tadatmya adhyasaha, when does it happen? When you have essence, when you have identity with the, when you identify the self with the sukshma shariram. When the self is identified with the sukshma shariram, when you have the essence in the sukshma shariram, then there is tadatmya adhyasaha. Then become what now? Once tadatmya adhyasaha is there, then naturally you become the very subtle body. Thereby what happens notionally? Thereby there is a notion of samsaraha also. What is samsaraha? Notion of samsaraha means what now? Having notion of samsara means I am born, I am going to die, I am travelling, etc. means what now? Samsara. The life of transmigration, the samsaraha is there for whom? The sukshma. Not for the consciousness, not for the Atma. Therefore, I know samsaraha also, I am samsari, I have samsaraha also, is only in the notion. Is there samsara really? Is there bondage at all really? There's no real bondage. Therefore, is there an attainment of moksha really? There's no real moksha. There's no real bondage. But where is bondage then? Why have to attain moksha then? A attainment of moksha also is what? A correction of the wrong notion is the attainment of moksha. Therefore, what about samsara? Samsara also is what? Notional. I have samsara is what now? In the notion. I am attaining moksha as what now? Notion. Why it is notion? Because of your identity with the subtle body. As a subtle body. Why the identity is subtle body? Because there is no right identity. Why there is no right identity? Because essence is not resolved. Where? So having right identity means having resolved the essence in its content. What you can resolve the essence in its content only if you know what the content is. Therefore, jnatva. Do you see the beauty of it? Then samsara is possible. Okay, samsaraha, birth, death, the life of transmigration, all these things notionally become real because of this what now? When one identity is with the sukshma shariram. The Keda Upanishad, you do not talk about this Thoolam at all. You know that? You don't need to talk about Thoolam. Begins with the Sukshma only. Ataha, therefore. Shrotradehe, Shrotradi Lakshanam, Brahmatma, Iti, Viditva, Jnatva, another word for Jnatva is what? Viditva. Shankara repeats it. Viditva. Viditva means what now? Having known. Having known what? Brahmatma. Having known what? Having known this Swarupam of the Atma. Having known the content of the I sense. Thereby resolving the I sense in the content. Thereby shifting the I sense from the Sukshma and knowing what? Knowing that Atma, the consciousness, is the what now? Is actually consciousness is the eye of the eye, ear of the ear, etc. Lakshanam Brahmatma. Lakshanam Brahmatma iti viditva. It is the Atma, the consciousness, which is the Swarupam, which is the content of the I sense. Okay. Having known that, what now? Content of the I sense is what now? Knowing the Atma, that which is behind all of them, the passive activator of all of them is the Atma. Iti, okay? Having known, having understood. Only after jnanam, what happens now? Atimuchya. After having known and known the Atma alone, Atimuchya. See, before jnanam, shifting of I sense is not possible. I have explained it very clearly. So, Atimuchya means what now? Having given up the identity with the Sukshma. Having given up the identity with Sukshma means what now? Giving up Sukshma means shift the essence from Sukshma. How can you shift the essence from the Sukshma? By resolving the essence. How can you resolve? By knowing the content. They have Viditva. Viditva. Atimuchya. Again he repeats, Shrotradi Atma Bhavam Parityajya. Shrotradi Atma Bhavam Parityajya. So, giving up the I sense in all the aspects of the Sukshma. Shrotradi Atma Bhavam Parityajya. But now, giving up the I sense in all the subtle aspects, such as ear, etc. So, Atimuchya, again he explains Atimuchya. Shankara explains this much. Then, Ye Shrotradi Atma Bhavam Parityajanti Te Dhiraha Dhimantaha. Okay. Shankara gives the meaning of the word dhiraha as what now? Dhimantaha. Dhiraha means dhimantaha. Dhiman means dhihi means intellect. Dhihi means knowledge. Dhihi means wisdom. So dhiman means wise person. Dhimantaha plural form. Takarantaha pullingaha dhimat shabdaha. Tasya prathama vibhaktau bahuvachane dhimantaha iti rupam. It's a plural form of dhiman, wise people. So, okay, dhiraha literally means what? Brave, courageous, you know, people. So, but here, who are the real courageous, brave people? Dhimantaha, wise people. So, and who are the wise people? Who are the these dhiraha? Shankara says, ye shrotradi atma bhavam parityajanti te dhiraha. Those who resolve their eye sense in atma swarupam, by shifting the eyes, okay, thereby those who are able to shift the eye sense from the sukshma shariram, they are the dhiraha. So what does it mean? One, this extraordinary strength is required to shift the eye sense from the sukshma shariram. It is not that easy. Shifting the eye sense from physical body, giving up the identity with the physical body is okay, you can manage. But giving up the identity with the sukshma, shifting the eye sense from the sukshma is not at all easy, very difficult. And that, okay, because that needs tremendous strength and courage also. Because sometimes, if you are not, that means suppose if it is like, that's why, listen to me very carefully. If there is a tender creeper, the creeper has to hold on to something, something which is standing. If you shift it from there, it needs to sit on something else. Mm-hmm.
Support
it needs. Suppose if you shift it from here, nothing is here, my God, what will happen? Isn't it? Like that, this eye sense also needs to lean on something. It cannot be by itself. It's called, okay, that it cannot be by itself. Eye sense cannot be by itself. It needs to hold on to something. It needs to, okay, it needs to lean on something. Eye sense can never be by itself.
It's funny that, because for a long time, I've recognized there's a real fear of the formless. And when you hear about the consciousness, it's formless. And the recognition of the dependence on a form. But listening to your description of consciousness today and the swarupa of consciousness, I realise that the slightest understanding of that and the fear of being formlessness go. And it was just for a moment it went. It's exactly the same thing, isn't it?
Because the eye sense needs to learn something. Because that's why eye sense, if it is swarupam, is known, okay, it's got resolved, isn't it? Then the shifting is very easy. Therefore he says, what now? The shifting of who are the wise people? Who are the brave people? Who are the courageous people? Who are the wise people? A wise people are those people, the courageous, the brave people are those people who are able to shift the I sense from the sukshma shariram, who are able to disidentify with the sukshma shariram, are able to give up the identity with the sukshma shariram. Okay? He all explains word after the word now. Okay. So, shrotra, okay, ye shrotradi atma bhavam parityajanti. Shrotradi atma bhavam parityajanti means what now? Those shrotradishu indriyeshu. Shrotradishu indriyeshu. Karna kalape. Okay? Ye atma bhavam parityajanti. Those who give up the eye sense. Atma bhavaha means eye sense. Those who give up the eye sense in the shrotradi. How do they give up? By knowing the Atma Swarupam. So, knowing, why should they know? You have to resolve I sense there. The I sense is not resolved in its content. The I sense will be like, definitely it has to be what now? In non-self. If Atma Swarupam is not known, I sense cannot be by itself. It will definitely identify with what? Something which is not. That is the helplessness. Suppose if something is there, okay, there's a phone here. I don't know who it belongs to. Okay? I can keep it here, no way. If I don't know who it belongs to, if I know who it belongs to, I can give it to. If I don't know who it belongs to, also what now? Okay, it can, but I sense, where does it belong to? I guess I get, okay, it's yours, come and take it. Huh? But here, there's no choice, no, it definitely will be, it will have identity only with something. That is why this only gyavidhitva. We'll go to the next sentence now. Nahi visishta dhimatvam antarena. Okay, very interesting thing. So first he said, those who are able to shift the essence from the sukshma alone are wise people, brave, courageous people. And who are the people who have the courage of shifting the essence from sukshma? Those who can resolve, they have found some other place for the essence. Its own place. Isn't it? Who are the people who can shift the essence from sukshma? Who are the courageous enough to shift it? Those who have found the place where it can be resolved. And who are the people who have resolved the essence? You know, people who know the content of the essence. See, I got it clearly now. Very clear, isn't it? Therefore, such people are the wise people. Now he, therefore, nahi visishta dhimatvam antarena. Dhimatvam means wisdom. Visishta dhimatvam is what now? Special wisdom. Extraordinary wisdom. Not ordinary wisdom. Because wisdom means we need extraordinary knowledge. Because we all talk about the, you know, wise wisdom is amazing, isn't it? Amazing that person's knowledge is amazing. Because aparavidya, one is wisdom can be what now? Wisdom can be wisdom of worldly knowledge also. Wisdom, okay, of worldly knowledge also, we can take it. But here, in our knowledge of an object, okay, wisdom concerned worldly matters, we say he is very wise. He knows how to invest his money. He is very wise. He knows how to handle his wife. He is very, you know, we say, see, wisdom also, in worldly dealings and handlings, the worldly matters also, we talk about the wise wisdom. But not that is here, the self-knowledge, knowledge of the content of I, is the knowledge of the swarupam of the I, which is subtlest, which is a subject, knowledge of the very subject here, subtlest vastu. And that jnanam is what now, is it makes one really wise. Therefore, that's why dhimatvam, visishta dhimatvam antarena, without this extraordinary wisdom, extraordinary knowledge of the self. It is very, very extraordinary, because what is to be the, what is that really which makes one wise is this knowledge of the subtlest reality. Not the object. Knowledge of the very absolute reality, subtlest reality. And which is not an object at all, it is just the subject. What is to be known here is a very subject, subtlest. Therefore, he says what now? Visishta dhimatvam antarena. Without this extraordinary knowledge or extraordinary wisdom, shrotradi atma bhavaha. What now? Shakyaha. It is without this extraordinary wisdom, it is impossible. It is not possible at all. For what now? Shrotradi atma bhavaha. Parityaktum. It's impossible for one to give up the identity with the self, sukshma. Atma bhavaha shakyaha parityaktum shakyaha. To give up the identity with the, what now, sukshma, subtle body, to shift the essence from the subtle body, to give up the identity with the subtle body, to shift the essence from the subtle body is not possible without this extraordinary wisdom, knowledge. Is it clear now? So what does it mean here? There is no effort involved. Give up the identity with the sukshma. There is no effort involved. Why? It is not naturally it will go if the essence is located, placed in its content. This is what finding one's own home. Going back to your own house. Know that? It's called being at home. Understand now? If the wave is water, when you say, it's called being at home of the wave. Okay? Being at home. Veedu peru. Therida? Being at home. What is the home of the wave? It's location, isn't it? Being at home. Really, in the absolute sense, being at home means having right identity, thereby resolving the essence in the Swarupam, thereby shifting the essence from non-self is what? Being at home. It's beautiful, isn't it? Being at home. Okay. But he says now, so without an extraordinary knowledge, it is not possible for one to shift the essence from sukshma shariram. Okay. Now, Shankara gives the meaning of the word, other word, pretya. He goes next word. Appa, he's moving to next word now. See, there are two words. Atimuchya and Pretya. Literally speaking, Atimuchya also having given up, having crossed. Now, Pretya also means what? Pra plus A. Now, Prapurvaka E Dhatoho. Now, Lyabantam Avyam Rupam is Pretya. It's indeclinable. Pretya. Pretya also means what now? Having gone beyond, having transcended. Pretya also means the same. Atimuchya also means the same. Atimuchya and Pretya mean the same, literally. You know, two different verbs. Two different words. But still the meaning is the same. Then the same sentence, two things are used. So Shankara used, he says, why two? No. Having transcended, having transcended, the same meaning, two different words are used. The same sentence, mantra. Why? He says, Vyavritya. So, pretya means what now? Vyavritya. Pretya means Vyavritya. Vyavritya means what is asmat, say now? Lokat. Putra, Mitra, Kalatra, Bandushu, Mama, Aham Bhava, Mama Aham Bhava, Sankhya, sorry, Savyavahara, Lakshana, Lakshana, Lakshanat, Tyakta, Sarveshana Bhavet, Iti Artaha. So he says, Atimuchya, therefore, both the words mean the same, having transcended. Two different words, but the meaning is the same, having transcended, having given up. Therefore, what should we, having crossed over, isn't it? So what should we take the meaning here? Here, the first Atimuchya should be taken as what now? Giving up the essence in the non-self. Giving up the essence is implied by the term Atimuchya. And what about the Pretya? Giving up what now? My sense. So Pretya stands for giving up the my sense, and Atimuchya stands for giving up the I sense. Why my sense? Because once you have I sense in the sukshma, then naturally, helplessly, you have I sense in the sthula also. Once you have I sense in the sthula and the sukshma, and naturally anything belonging to, connected to, associated with the sthula also. With what now? There you have my sense. I am, okay, how sukshma identity leads to sthula identity, not later on, immediately, simultaneously, and the sthula identity leads to what now? My sense, my house, my son, my wife, my daughter, my husband, okay? And my money, my wealth, my assets, my name, my fame, my popularity, my position, my possession, my well-being. Is that what now? So all the, okay, he says, where? Asmat lokat. Okay. Putra, mitra, kalatra, bandushu. Putra, mitra, kalatra, bandushu. Putra, mitra, kalatra, bandushu. Son, wife, friend, bandushu, relatives, my relative. You know, this set of my sense. Conscious doesn't have any my sense. Conscious doesn't have any I sense or my sense also. Okay, this is also because of what now? So one becomes free from what now? The sense of possession also. Not only one becomes free from the I sense, becomes free from what now? The sense of possession also. Who is the possessor? What is the possessed? What is the possession? The possessor possessed connection itself will resolve. Possessor possessed connection, not physically, cognitive. It's all cognitive, purely cognitive. It's a cognitive resolution of what now? Possessor possessed connection. The sense of possession will resolve. When the I sense is resolved, therefore, having resolved the I sense, having known, now I am coming to the number, again Vitva, having known the Swarupam content of the I, thereby resolving the I sense in the Swarupam, okay, thereby, what now, shifting the I sense from the Sukshma, thereby resolving, what now, I sense in the Sthula also, thereby, what now, resolving one sense of possession also. Also, what now? They become immortal. They attain the immortality. So what is immortality here? Understanding the fallacy of bondage, attain moksha, videha mukti, understanding the fallacy of what now? Videha mukti, attainment of videha mukti and bondage, etc. is what now? Real mukti. This atma has no bond, atma is not bound, atma is not liberated, there is no bondage or moksha for atma. Okay? This understanding of the fallacy of the bondage, notion of being bound and notion of attainment of freedom is real freedom. It's called Nitya Mukti. This Nitya Mukti is what now here? Attainment of immortality. Recognition of the Nitya Mukti, understand the fallacy of this attainment of moksha and bondage, which is called real moksha, which is nitya mukti, which is otherwise called attainment of immortality. So, what now? Amrutaha bhavanti. So, here, Shankara wants to talk about some vyavahar lakshanat. Vyavahar lakshan we have now, in day-to-day transactions. This is there. This my sense is expressed where? In day-to-day transactions. Tyakta sarveshana bhutva. He gives one more example. Tyakta sarveshana bhutva. Tyakta sarveshana bhutva means what now? Sarvaha yeshanaha tyaktaha yena saha tyakta. Okay. Tyakta sarveshanaha. Yeshana means attachment. Yeshana means attachment. Sarvaha yeshanaha means there are, the other Upanishad talks about this, eshanatrayam. Putraishana, vittaishana, lokaishana. Attachment to these children, progeny, children. Attachment to wealth. Wealth means all forms of wealth. Wealth is what now? You know? Attachment to the enjoyment of heavenly higher lokas. Lokayeshana, vittayeshana, putrayeshana. So all your objects of desires can be, objects of attachment can be reduced to these three. Putrayeshana, vittayeshana. Vitta means wealth, isn't it? Attachment to wealth and possessions. Attachment to children. Attachment to the lokas. Is it what attachment? Dependence for one's happiness. Dependence for one's happiness is attachment. Being dependent on is being attached. Being dependent on for happiness is called being attached. Being independent for happiness is being detached. Being dependent means being dependent for happiness. Being dependent for happiness on something is being attached to something. Being independent for happiness, not being dependent for happiness on something, is being detached. So, eshana means what now? Attachment. When, okay, this eshana trayam will be, is the attachment to anything. Attachment to anything is very natural. You are being dependent on so many things for happiness is very natural. So when does one become detached? When does one become really independent? When one does not depend upon anything else for one's happiness, then one becomes independent of, okay, then one becomes, being independent is being detached, I said. The person, if somebody is not dependent for one's happiness upon anything, he is not attached to anything. He is detached to everything. When does one become independent for happiness? Only when he knows his, knows his self. When he knows how, because knowing the self is knowing its swarupa. What is swarupa of the self? Fullness. So knowing the ourself means knowing the swarupam. No, so fullness, happiness is what? Swarupam of the Atma. But knowing the swarupam, the fullness, is knowing the self. And knowing the fullness is what now? Owning up one's swarupam. Knowing the self is knowing what happiness is. But knowing what happiness is, what now? Owning up one's swarupam. Therefore, one swarupam being fullness, swarupam being fullness, self is fullness. Knowing this, the swarupam is happiness means what now? Self is happiness. Self is for the one who, for whom, the one for whom self is happiness, then there's no need for him to depend upon anything else for happiness. Not a need, it's not possible for one to be dependent on happiness. Depend for happiness upon anything. Therefore, the self knowledge is what now? Now is knowledge of happiness. Knowledge of happiness is what now? Owning up the happiness as one swarupam. The owning up one's happiness as one swarupam is what now? One's own, owning up happiness as one's own self is in fact being, not being dependent on anything else for one's happiness. Not being dependent on anything else for one's happiness is being detached to everything else. The Lord said, but no. Therefore, this person is who now? This person, the wise person, is the one who is free from attachment effortlessly. What is that make, what is that which makes one have detachment effortlessly? Knowledge. Therefore, do you want to you want to give up attachment before jnanam, or you want to attain jnanam to become detached? What we do? People say give up everything, have detachment, become detached for what? For self-knowledge. What does the Shastram say? It is impossible for you to give up attachment. It is impossible for you to be detached until you have jnanam. In fact, knowledge is independence. Independence is detachment. Detachment is freedom. Knowledge is freedom. Ignorance is dependence. Dependence is attachment. Attachment is bondage. For ignorance is bondage. Am I clear? Not clear? Therefore, so he, what he says, he, Shankaracharya means, by next word, apretya, he says, giving up the my sense. Is it good? I got difference now? Pretya. Then which means what now? Which talks, that means, which means Vidvat Sannyasaha. Vidvat Sannyasa. Pretya you know, Vidvat Sannyasa. Bhuja Sannyasa means what now? Not giving up anything externally, but giving up all the notions by knowledge, resolving all the wrong notions in jnanam. Resolving all the wrong notions in knowledge is what? Vidvat sannyasa. Any wise person who is married also, still he is a vidvat sannyasi. Vidvat means, vidvat means knowledge. Vidvan means wise, knowledgeable person. And the sannyasa means what I'm giving up. Giving up all the wrong notions in knowledge, or resolving all the wrong notions in knowledge is what? Vidvat sannyasaha. That what all the wrong notions? My sense, resolving the my sense of possession. Which means what now? Resolving all these attachments, becoming detached. So detachment, giving up of attachment, isn't it? Is implies what now? Attachment to anything in the world, everything will be resolved. The attachment resolving, vidvat sannyasa implies resolving the attachment also. I use word resolving, not giving up simultaneously. Why? Giving up again makes you think of effort. Resolving, when you talk about resolving, it effortlessness. So attachment will be resolved, there will be only detachment when there is independence. Independence is possible only when one knows one's Swarup being fullness. But what now? Vidvat, resolving all the wrong notions in knowledge. Okay? Or in after having, because of knowledge, is what? Vidvat sannyasaha. Vidvat sannyasa is actually implied by the term pretya. Is the meaning of the word pretya. I want to finish today, but I can't finish, it seems, today.
Swamiji, you said there were three attachments. You said there were progeny, wealth, and what was the third one?
Worlds. Loka, worlds, higher worlds. Desire for the pleasure, the heavenly. I want to go to heaven. And shake hands with Bhagavan.
Oh.
I want to hug Bhagavan. I want to have a hug of Bhagavan. I want to have dinner with Bhagavan. Okay. Location. Vitteshana, putreshana, locationa. Buddha talks about all those things. We'll talk about it. We'll see later on. Okay. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.